Thank you, fellas, for that this morning, and he will come again to Israel one of these days. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's going to be our text. Now, I'm about 11 minutes later than normal getting into the message, and I have that in mind. That just means we'll get out 11 minutes later than normal. Amen. So, I'll try to move it along today and jump right into the crux of this message for you, 2 Corinthians 9, and I'm not going to take the time to read verses 12, 13, 14, and 15, but that's going to be the text passage of the message today, and specifically verses 13 and 15. I want to speak on Paul's concluding thoughts on giving. We've been in these chapters the last couple of weeks and looking at this special offering that Paul exhorted this church to receive, an offering above their normal giving, beyond their normal giving, to feed the poor saints, the Jewish believers who are doing without the common necessities of life in the city of Jerusalem. And in order for us to see the building become a reality, we're going to have giving that is above and beyond the norm. We cannot rob from our general fund giving. We cannot take from the missions giving to build the building. I don't think God would be pleased with that. But this is the history, as I showed you in the Old Testament. This is how God's work has been accomplished. People rising to the occasion to give above and beyond the norm to see projects like this one become reality. So I want to talk about Paul's concluding thoughts on giving this morning from these scriptures, and let's pray for God's blessing on our message today. Dear Father, thank you for the nature of this service so far, the music, the presentation. Thank you, dear Lord, for just the privilege to be here today. Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus is why we are here. Thank you for every person, both guest and member here today. Speak to our hearts. May the will of God be accomplished in the life of this church, and we'll thank you for it. I ask for your help in the message, dear Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, the blessed name of Christ our Savior, and amen. Paul is concluding his comments to these people in the church at Corinth about this matter of giving a special offering. Now, I'm going to go quickly through what we've already looked at these last couple of Sundays. He used the example of those in poverty conditions in Macedonia who gave in spite of their poverty. People who were living in poverty who gave in spite of their poverty. He used the example of Jesus Christ, just the opposite. He was rich. And verse number 9 of chapter 8 tells us that he became poor so that we might become rich. And thank God that he did. Amen. He used the illustration of planting and harvesting to encourage the people to trust God. Trust God. And he gave the illustration. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. So trust God. Now, you know, you go into a building project. I was going to stick right to my notes. I didn't want to deviate, but I must here. Okay, so I got about 2 minutes into it without deviating, all right? You get into something like this and you're thinking, dear Lord, you know, we got to know if this is your will, if this is what you want. As we've been praying, God, lead, guide, and direct us. So I come to the church this morning, Brother Caleb, you know, today's the building commitment. Brother Caleb, he says, you have a message on the machine. And so I dialed up the voicemail number and hit the password. And Brother Terry, this is Martin Smith out in Fort Dodge, Iowa. It's 10 after 10 Saturday night. Don't want anything, don't need anything. Just wanted to call and encourage you to trust God. Prayed for you tonight in the men's prayer meeting. Have a great Sunday. Bye-bye. Now, he has no idea what we're doing today. None. Unless anybody called Marvin Smith at Fort Dodge and told him. But I'm here talking about several hundred miles away. But God put it on their hearts last night to pray for this church. Amen. And put it on his heart to call me and tell me just to trust God. I'm going to tell you something. That helped. Amen. That's right. You get ready for a Sunday like that, like today, anticipating all kinds of fallout, okay? And this guy's sick, and this person won't be here, and this guy's out of town, and so forth and so on, you know. So you just kind of brace yourself. You don't anticipate some encouraging phone call like that. And that's what Paul did here. He encouraged these people, just trust God. The Lord will be debtor to no man. You can't outgive God. And he wrote them, I got to stay on track here. Paul encouraged them to give purposefully, which is what we really dealt with last Sunday, not emotionally. When you give emotionally, when you give out of emotion, it's mad giving or sad giving. But you don't want to give that way. You want to give purposefully. He encouraged them to purpose in their hearts. And when you give on purpose, you can give cheerfully. And God loves a cheerful giver. That's what his Bible says. So Paul reminded them of God's enabling grace. God's grace can change someone into a giving, sharing, joyful-hearted person, which is exactly opposite what our fleshly nature is. Okay? So now he's coming to the end. That's the things we talked about the last couple of weeks. He's coming to the end, and I do want to point out these two verses, verses 13 and 15. Now, verse 13, quickly, explains that giving is a form of serving God. We know that giving is a form of worship. When we gave just a few moments ago, we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Okay, if you give it in the right attitude and spirit, it's a form of worshiping God, honoring God. Honor the Lord with all of thy substance, the first fruits of all thine increase, Proverbs says. So when you gave this morning, it was part of worship, okay? But it is also a form of service to God. Now, I want you to see the word they in verse number 13. The word they in verse 13 is a reference to the poor saints in Jerusalem, those who would be the recipients of this offering, okay? And Paul said, the first word I want you to see here is the word subjection. Do you see it there? Subjection. He said, they will glorify God for your professed subjection under the gospel of Christ. Now listen very carefully. Let me explain that word subjection. These Corinthian Christians, listen, were subject unto the gospel of Christ. Don't miss this. True Christianity is subjection to the gospel. Not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ,
but to all the truths and the laws that are associated with the gospel. Okay? Now, you got to be in subjection. Let me explain. Start by explaining this way. Salvation comes when a person humbles himself and admits he is a sinner, realizes he cannot save himself, and then in faith believes that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again in his place. And he subjects himself to that truth. He says, I am a sinner, I cannot save myself, and I will place my faith in Jesus Christ as all I need to take me to heaven when I leave this world. Now, friend, that takes submission. The reason some people do not get saved is because they are fueled by a spirit of pride that says there has to be more to this matter of salvation than what Pastor Angel just said. There has to be more to salvation than that. But by the way, what I said is what the Bible says there, okay? So there has to be more to salvation than that. It's too easy. I've got to think this through, and I've got to think, and I've got to have, and I've got to do, and I've got to be, and and it just can't be that simple. Friend, pride keeps some people from being saved. It's a matter, they are unwilling to do as Jesus put it. He said it this way, receive the kingdom of God as a little child. That takes submission. That takes submission. Subjection to the gospel. Simple faith believing what God says about the matter of salvation requires humility. And it results in salvation. Now, this is just the start, though. Salvation is just the start. Christianity, listen, is continuing to subject ourselves to all the truths and laws related to the gospel. What do you mean? I mean, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold what? Not just eternal destiny, but all things are become new. You see, when we get saved, Christ begins to change everything about us, including that old nature that wants to get, Keep, get. That's what the old nature wants to do. And Christ, the gospel, the laws of Christianity, the truths of Christianity begin to change us. And folks, it takes subjection. It takes submission. It takes yielding on our part that allows God to change us to what He wants us to be. Now, I don't glory in this. I'm not proud of this. I'm ashamed of this, but I use it from time to time as an illustration. Before I got saved, I used to smoke. That was way back when I was a teenager. I'm ashamed of that. I think the best thing in the world to do is never let a cigarette touch your lips. I think it's the best thing in the world to do. Best way to avoid lung cancer is don't start smoking, okay? And other diseases that go with it. Listen very carefully. It never bothered me to smoke a cigarette before I got saved. It never troubled me. But after I got saved, that very same action bothered me. And what was the reason for that? You say, well, you turned over a new leaf. You realize how many times I threw, some of you are with me on this, how many times I threw away a package of cigarettes and had 17 cigarettes in it. I've got to quit this. This is bad for my health. I've got to stop this. Threw it away. 2 hours later, go buy another one. Or try to find the one I threw out the window if I didn't have any money, you know. Are you with me? Huh? Okay. But all of a sudden, after I get saved, and I'm not going to go into that story again, now I've got a cigarette in my fingers, all of a sudden, there's something different. You say, it wasn't turning over a new leaf. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was not only the person of the Holy Spirit, it was the influences of the grace of God on my heart, the influences of truth, the influences of the gospel that now bothered me, and I yielded to those influences, I submitted to those influences, and soon it was gone. Same thing happened with rock music. I don't mean rock music that was just noise. I mean rock music that had an agenda back in the 60s. I mean rock music that had a purpose. I mean rock music that was fueled by rebellion. I mean rock music that was anti-establishment, anti-everything, anti-authority. And some of you were caught up in that like I was. And before I got saved, to listen to that stuff never bothered me. Ever. I enjoyed it. But after I got saved, And I listened to that. It bothered me. It was not the same. There was no enjoyment. There was a, what is wrong? I tell you what it was, folks. It wasn't, again, turning over a new leaf. It was the influences of the grace of God on my heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. It was the influences of truth, the influences of the Bible that began to change me. And I yielded to that and submitted to it. Before long, that went by the wayside. Are you with me this morning? Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel the influences of the gospel of grace on your heart? Many of you do. Many of you are not what you used to be. You are different. And it wasn't turning over a new leaf or pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It began with salvation and it continued with the influences of the grace of God on your heart that made you uneasy and made you uncomfortable with things that you used to be comfortable with. And now it was like, I just can't be a part of that anymore. It's a new way. Behold, He makes all things what? New. You with me this morning, church? Okay. So that's what happened. So that's the words. That's what He's saying here. You Corinthian people have some, watch it. You've subjected yourself not just to saving grace, but to the grace of the gospel. You've yielded yourself. You've submitted to God's grace, that God's word and His grace has worked through His word to change you. By the way, this is where I get in trouble. But this is the same group of people that He wrote to 1 year earlier and called them childish and carnal and said, you live like a bunch of lost people. And in 1 year, they were changed by the grace of God. 1 year. Subjection. Now, the second word I want you to see in verse number 13 is the word distribution. Look at the end of the verse. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Distribution. Now watch this. One of the evidences of yielding to the influences of the gospel of grace is liberality in giving. You see, we always define, and I said this last week, I think maybe a little bit, we always define change in person by the external. Friend, there are a lot of changes that go on in a person internally. I believe they do show up externally. But there's a lot of things that happen internally. Look, I told you about the cigarettes. I told you about the rock music. In the same way that the grace of God changed me from those habits to now being free from those things. The same way God's grace working on our heart will change us from being selfish and stingy. You know, before I got saved, being selfish and stingy never bothered me. Before I got saved, I never looked on the needs of others as anything that concerned me. I didn't care if you had with that. If you did without. Because I wanted. Does that make sense to y'all? It never bothered me to be selfish. It never bothered me to be stingy. That's all I was consumed with. But now after I got saved, the influences of the gospel, the grace of God on my heart, make me feel uncomfortable being stingy and selfish. I'm not the example in giving. I'm not the example in generosity. There are people in this church that are far greater examples of generosity and unselfishness than I am. But I'm going to tell you something. It's uncomfortable for me to be selfish if somebody has a need that I can help serve. But it didn't used to be that way. Well, say, boy, you sure are working hard to turn over a new leaf. There's no such thing as turning over a new leaf. It's called getting saved and letting the grace of God change you. Are you listening this morning? That's what he's talking about here. Okay, this is what we want to happen in the life of our church right now. There's still a battle with that. I'll tell you, it's like the little girl whose mother gave her 2 quarters. And boy, she said, okay, honey, she said, what you must understand is one of these quarters is for Jesus. And the other quarter is for you to spend at the ice cream store. One is for Jesus and one is for you to spend at the ice cream store. And come Friday, we're going to go down and you're going to get your ice cream at the store. And then come Sunday, you're going to put the quarter in the plate. Oh, man, the little girl was just ecstatic. Just, I mean, ecstatic. She had her little quarters, you know, and she put them on her dresser in her room, and she watched them every day and had them there all week. And then come Friday, she got the little quarters in her hand, got one quarter in this hand, one quarter in that hand. And today was the day she was going to go out to the ice cream store, and she's running and skipping down the sidewalk with her mom, and she's all excited, and her toe hits a crack in the sidewalk, and she trips and falls, bang, hits the sidewalk. One of those quarters rolls out of her hand into a storm drain, clink, 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 clink. She crawls up, and she peers down in that storm drain, and she says, "Well, Jesus, there goes your quarter." Amen? that's about how we are sometimes, okay? You know, there's still those selfish influences that are upon us. But there are people in this room who have learned to be generous. You've learned to be liberal in your giving. And it's not because you pulled up yourself by your bootstraps or turned over a new leaf. It's the result of the grace of God. Have you ever heard anybody say about a fella, about a lady, about anybody in general, about that person, they'll say about a person, you know, that person is just naturally a giving, unselfish person. Well, that's meant as a compliment. It's not true. Naturally, we're all selfish. That's what we are naturally. If somebody has learned to be generous, if somebody has learned to be liberal in the distribution of money, it's because the grace of God has worked on their hearts, changing them, making them feel uncomfortable being selfish and stingy. There is a new way to live instead of this way. It's called this way. You guys listening? You guys listening down here? Good. That's the grace of God. It's called distribution. Okay? Their liberality. And by the way, these people were not just caught up in emotional sympathy for this group of Jewish believers who were in trouble. Look what the last three words of verse number 13 are. And, four words, and unto all men. He said, by the way, your liberal distribution has been proved not just to that group of poor saints in Jerusalem. Your liberal distribution has become known everywhere. So subjection to the gospel, subjection to God's word had changed these people, and now they were liberal in their distribution. And now look at the last word, verse number three, again, verse 13. It's at the very first of the verse. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration. You see that word ministration? What's the root word of that thing? Ministry. What is ministry? It's service. A minister. That's the word servant. Ministers aren't people with titles and positions of power. Ministers are supposed to be servants. That's what the word minister means. Servant. This is the word service. This liberal distribution was ministry. These people were ministering. They were serving. Their giving was an act of service. Their giving was evidence of a servant's heart. Folks, when you place the tithe and offering in the plate, it's not only a matter of worshiping God, it's a matter of serving God. When you serve the needs of others, you are serving God. Do you remember Jesus Christ talking to the people there? And he said, look, he said, I was naked and ye clothed me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And they said, when did we do that? And Jesus said, when you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. You understand what he said? When they clothed, when they fed, when they gave drink, when they serviced the needs of others, they were servicing Jesus Christ. And this is what giving is. Giving is not just a matter of plopping money in a plate, obligation. Giving is a matter not only of worshiping God, it's an avenue of serving God. And these Corinthian people were caught up in this particular service. They had become liberal in their distribution because they subjected themselves to the influences of the Word of God on their hearts. And you know what? Paul said, it's not in vain when you give like that. It's a matter of serving God. If I was to ask this morning, who in this room wants to serve God? I bet 99 to 100% of the hands would go up. Christian people have a heart to serve God. You say, I don't know how I can serve Him. But tell you one good way to serve Him, subject yourself to the truths of the gospel, the truths of this word. Let the grace of God change you. It'll change your nature. You'll become liberal in your distribution. And when you do that, it's service to God. It's an avenue of serving God. See, giving is not an obligation. It's as much a privilege as singing in the choir. You know, Rick wasn't up here performing. He was up here serving God with the talents and the abilities that God has given him this morning when he sang. And in the same fashion, giving is a way of serving God. You can serve God through the giving that takes part in this church. Now, how does Paul conclude it? So you got distribution, you got subjection, you got distribution, you got ministration. And then how does he conclude it? How does he wrap up this whole section on the subject of giving? Look at verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. After all the truths Paul taught on the subject of giving, he wraps it up by reminding the people and reminding us, by way of preservation of the Word of God, of the wonderful and unspeakable gift of God. You know, I told you earlier, when I first started mapping out the timeline for this thing, it looked, you know, I thought, boy, okay, if we build in March when the weather breaks, then we've got to be in construction drawings in January and February. They've got to be in the permitting process. That means we've got to have the conceptual drawings. We've got to have the contract. We've got to have the commitment. And it all fell around Christmas time. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. What a horrible time of the year to be asking God's people to make a building commitment at Christmas. And the Spirit of God said, no, I don't think so. What better time? For God's people to be praying, Lord, what can I do to see your work go forward? Why? Because what's on our minds right now? Santa Claus! Oh, you're kidding. And I know, you know, holiday and family and tradition. But what? This is Christmas. It's not happy holidays. This is Merry Christmas. This is Jesus' birth. This is when God put his great proof of love in that little manger in Bethlehem. That little babe is God's love gift to this world. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God, the gift of God, the gift. Eternal life is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't merit it. You must receive it. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record written down. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life is God's gift. Do you understand that if the world should end today, you and I are going to heaven? Instead of where we deserve to go, hell? Do we understand that? We will leave this world and wake up. One breath here, last breath here, first breath there. So I'm instantaneous. In that next place. And that is simply the gift of God. Some years ago, some months ago, some weeks ago, for some of you, you acted upon that gift. You received it as your personal. You received Christ as your personal Savior. You're on your way to heaven today. Man alive. Salvation is free to me and to you. But it cost God his Son. And what is this? What is this commitment? Isn't this just an opportunity for me to say to God, I am so thankful for your unspeakable gift. And I'm going to prove it by giving back. You first gave to me. What better time of the year to do it? What better time? That's Paul's concluding thoughts on the subject of giving in this chapter. He wraps it all up by saying, hey folks, I know I've asked you to give. And when you start talking to money, start talking to people about money. But he said, let me remind you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How can we ever repay our Father in heaven?
for what he's given to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Huh?
That's it right there.
Blessed truths from God's Word on the subject of giving. You know what I ask? I ask for God's will to be done. Just may God's will be done in our church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me quickly ask you a few questions here as we move into the invitation time of the service. I didn't preach on salvation this morning. I talked a little bit about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But I want to take a moment now and say this. If you do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you can know that. You can be saved. You can have the gift of eternal life. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody this morning, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I do not know where I would spend eternity. I am just not sure that I'm headed toward heaven. I don't know that I've been born into God's family. Think about it for a minute. Eternal life is a gift. Do you have it? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Just remember me in prayer. I don't know your name. I wouldn't call your name if I didn't know it. Maybe you're a church member. Just remember me in prayer. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you lift a hand this morning? Wherever you may be sitting, side to side, front to back, anybody. Boy or girl, man or woman, member or visitor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right. Maybe somebody's here today. You're saved. But you've not been baptized. You came to follow the Lord in believers' baptism this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, that's me. I'm here to be baptized. One of the reasons I came is to be baptized this morning. Pray for me. Or you just want to acknowledge that this morning in my life, that you come right now while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we'll have Scott and Linda help get ready for baptism this morning. All right. Very good. Anybody else? Or you need to be talked to. You've never been baptized since you've been saved. That first step of obedience. You never have been. Would you come this morning? Anybody? Since you've been saved, you're not sure that maybe you're not sure that you're saved. You'd like to follow the Lord this morning, either in the matter of salvation or Bible baptism while we wait. Now, if you're here, you've been visiting the church, you know this is the place you want to make your membership. We would sure invite you to do that this morning if you've spoken with me or Brother Caleb about it. If not, you need to come see us. We'll talk with you about it. We'd be happy to discuss that with you anytime it works out for your schedule. Christian, church member, regular attender, I hope that you've been praying. And I hope that God's will be done. What better time of the year for us to think about a gift for a building program? We're not asking for this for prideful purposes in the community. You heard Mr. Reiser say a few minutes ago, a building is a tool. We've said that often. It's a tool. We believe it's time for us to get a new tool. I hope you've been praying about it. That God's grace will lead you to do His will. If you want to use the altar this morning for a moment or two just to deal and seal the commitment or continue to pray about it, it'll be open as usual after the service and during the invitation time. We invite you to respond to the Lord as you see fit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dear Father in heaven, I appreciate so much your word. It is so relevant to the day and age which we live. It teaches us so much. And I pray that your grace will continue to have strong influences on our hearts and lives. That, Lord, all things will become new about us. One of those being liberal distribution. Now, dear God, please do a work in our hearts. I just pray and ask for your will to be done. Thank you for the phone call from Pastor Marvin Smith this morning. What an encouragement. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Stand, please, while the ladies play the song of invitation. If you want to slip to the altar for a moment, you may do so while we wait.